I'd like us today to just think of one word, and it's the word remember. The word remember. I want us this morning to think about the word remember with a warning. This evening to think about the word remember with a request and a promise. And then when we come to the Lord's table, God willing, to think again about the word remember with a command. So it's remember with a warning, remember with a request and a promise, and remember with a command. One of the things that God has given to mankind and to the holy creation is a memory. We have looked after two dogs on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and there's one of the dogs that knows the time. It knows when it gets its Mr. McVitie's. It knows when it gets its bit of cheese, because it has to have medication and they give it in cheese. So it knows the time when it has the cheese. And it knows the time when I take it for a walk before it goes home. Now it remembers, so it must have a memory. And even creation has a memory. The four seasons tell us that creation has a memory. And with human beings, the memory sometimes goes. But the thing that really encourages me is, and I've seen it many times with people with Alzheimer's and dementia, when they lose their memory and they don't know who they are and they don't know their husband or their children, and it's sad. But the soul has a memory that has never been affected by human illness. And I've seen this time and time again in the old folks' homes that I used to visit in London. Mention a hymn, make a reading, show a little chart, and someone who has dementia just comes back to their mind. And there it goes. So we've all got a memory, but I can't remember what I ate for my dinner last Tuesday. But the incredible thing is, after 81.5 years, I still remember my name. So the memory is a wonderful thing. And I want us to think, that's why I've been thinking or using this word, remember. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, remember. Remember Lot's wife. We've just read about Lot's wife. And she was told to do something. And she didn't. And here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's finished talking to the Pharisees. He's now talking to his disciples. And he says to them, remember Lot's wife. I've just read about Lot's wife. Maybe you knew about Lot's wife before I read it. But do you remember? Do you ever think about Lot's wife? And why did Jesus say to his disciples, remember Lot's wife? Because it was important. Because there was something to remember. And that something that had to be remembered was concerning the soul. Not the life, but concerning the soul. For it's the soul that is eternal. And we need to remember Lot's wife and The first thing we need to remember is this. Who it is that said, remember Lot's wife? We need to remember who said it. This is not Luke telling us. This is Luke telling us what Jesus Christ said. We need to remember who said, remember Lot's wife. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who had the perfect memory. But who knows that we don't have a perfect memory. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. We need to remember who it was that said, remember Lot's wife. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember who he said it to. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to his followers. He's not talking to the Pharisees here. He's not talking to the Sadducees. He's talking to his disciples, those who were willing to follow him. And if he's talking to followers, it must be important. And we need to remember he's talking about something in the past which reminds us that some things in the past are extremely important. He's talking to his disciples concerning something that happened in the past. And he wants them to make sure that it's not going to happen in the future. Keep these things in your mind. I've done it myself. I've done it myself. I've left a church after a wonderful sermon and then started to speak about the weather. And it's just like the seed that was sown on the footpath. This birds came down and picked it up before it had time to settle, and it's the same when we leave the church sometimes, and I've done it myself. We start talking about the weather, we start talking about our health, and all of a sudden, what the man in the pulpit has been saying has gone. That's why Jesus says, remember. That's why tonight Jesus says, remember. And that's why when we're at the table, Jesus says, remember. Because we're apt to forget, and the things that we forget concerning the things of God are the most important things to remember. So we need to remember who said this. It was none other than our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is concerned for us. He's talking to his people. And he's talking about something that happened in the past, which reminds us that some things in the past are extremely important. And there are four things that Jesus would say to us, remember, which are exceedingly important. Four things that we need to keep in our mind. Four things that we can speak about that show that we're saved. And the first thing is the incarnation. We need to remember that Jesus Christ was born. The cults and the false religions, they don't believe it. Some of them would deny it. But here we find that he's talking to his disciples. And this morning we're talking to those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that Jesus Christ was born. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ was born. He lived. He was an actual man. He was fully man, and he was fully God. He was the only one who was ever on this earth. And we can say the only man who was ever born who had two natures. Yes, he was born. He was born of a woman. But unlike you and me, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, where we were conceived of a man. And being conceived of a man, that sin was passed into us. And if we have children, we have passed that sin, as it were, through Adam, right down through into our children. He was the only one, my dear friends, this morning. And we need to remember that he was born. He took on himself, as Paul tells us in Philippians, he became as a servant. He took upon him the form of a man. Dear friends, this is God. This is God. God concerned for sinners. And we need to remember this. It wasn't a light thing, God sending his own son into the world. The Father knew that he would be born, that he would come in, and his own would not receive him. It was God that put it into the thoughts of Isaiah to write Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. These are real issues. These are important issues. My dear friends, this morning your soul relies on it. We need to remember the incarnation. We need to remember the crucifixion. Yes, he walked about this earth as a man for 33 years. But as I said before, he came into the world to save sinners. He came to die. He came to appease his Father's wrath. That's why it says he became in a propitiation. He came to take our sin. He came to take it upon himself. He came to take what you deserve and what I deserve. And when it says God sent his Son, it doesn't mean that he was forced. Christ Jesus came willingly. Not my will, Father. Take this cup from me. The cup that was he had to drink in Gethsemane. And he lay prostrate on the ground. Great drops of blood. Pleading in his way. Oh, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup away. Well, I've got to go through. Or I'll go through it. Because it's your will. Remember the crucifixion. Let me ask you a question. When did you last think about the crucifixion? When did you last think about the crucifixion? Really, I can't remember when I last thought about it. There was other things in my mind. You really have to sit down and think about it. It's not something that just comes to your mind. It might be when you pass a church with a cross, and then you see the cross and it might come into your mind. But we need to think more and more about the crucifixion and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, what a Saviour, he died for me. From condemnation, he has set me free. There is now no condemnation for me. He took it. My iniquities were laid upon him. And he said, Father, not him. But he said, Father, I'll take what is his. And I'll take it to myself. And I'll take it away forever. We need to remember the incarnation. Yes, he was born, but why did he come? He came, and we need to remember the crucifixion. And we need to remember the resurrection. Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood would have been of no avail whatsoever if he had been laid in that tomb, just as all the kings before him had been laid in their tombs, and they're still there. The Bible says that. David's remains are still there. Yes, if he came from heaven and he had these two natures and he went about doing good and he took my sin while he was on the cross and he was buried, and if there was no resurrection, it was of no avail whatsoever. I'm still in my sin. My soul is still lost. On judgment day, I will go to hell. But hallelujah, on the third day, he arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Oh, my dear friends, we need to remember the resurrection, that resurrection day, because he has been resurrected. I will be resurrected. Are you looking forward to that day? When Paul tells us he'll change this vile body like unto his body. Are you looking forward to the resurrection? If you're looking forward to the resurrection, then you must be looking forward to that day when life ends. That's one of the greatest and the most wonderful things I think that the Lord has given human beings. It is to grow old. To grow old. Well, not everyone grows old, we know that. But for those of us who are old, it reminds us every day that we're a day set nearer heaven. I love being old. I do. I love being old. I've lost a lot of things with being old. And the Lord has let me keep certain things, and he renews it every day. But to think one day I'm going to be like him. That's why he's talking to his disciples. That's why he's not talking to his followers. And Jesus Christ had thousands upon thousands of followers, because it tells us there that there was multitudes followed him nearly every day, and he fed them. And Jesus himself says, I think it's in John chapter 6, that there are many of them turned away when he started to talk about the nitty and the gritty of drinking my blood and eating my flesh and believing on me. Oh, we're not having this, and they turned away. So Jesus Christ had lots and lots of followers, but he had very few disciples. And here is who he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples, not his followers. Not the Pharisees, and not the Sadducees, and not the priests. He's talking to his disciples, those who were willing to stay by him. Yes, we know that they forsook him, but they came back. And then the fourth thing we need to remember is the ascension. Again, his birth, and his death, and his resurrection, going back to heaven and leaving us here, if that's all there is, then really it's not worth it. You want to be with the one you love, don't you? Don't you long to be there when I was in the army? And we went away abroad. It was lovely to get home. Although my mother's first thing my mother used to say to me was, when are you going back? I don't know how she meant it. But they mean, I wish you weren't here. But that's what they usually say, well, when are you going back? But everyone wants to be with the one they love. I love being with my wife. And when I go to the bake shop bowling on a Monday and on a Thursday, the first thing I do when we finish is I get my shoes and my coat on, I get into the car and I come home. I don't go for a drive around the country, I always come home first. You want to be with the one you love. And if Jesus Christ is not coming back again, we're not going to be with the one we love. And the one that loves us is not going to be with us. Spiritually, yes, he will be, as he is now. But we're talking about physically. John tells us we'll be with him, and we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. What a glorious day that will be. And it's a day when the sun will rise and never set. Because John tells us in Revelation that there'll be no more night. There'll be no more need of the sun. The sun of righteousness, in a sense, will rise and will never set. So Jesus is talking about things that happened in the past that are very important. And his word to us is this. Remember. And when we think about Lot's wife, well, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. We need to remember this, where she came from. Where did she come from? She came from the city of destruction. Because the angel said they were going to destroy it. She lived in the city of destruction. And when you read, and I've just started to read it again, Pilgrim's Progress, where did he run from? He ran from the city of destruction. He was told that there was going to be a destruction. And Lot's wife was told that there was going to be a destruction. She came from a city of destruction. And we are living in a world of destruction because Peter tells us that this has been reserved for fire. Not for water again, but for fire. And the Bible tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So this is the world of destruction. It's ready. It's coming nearer and nearer every day. And God is warning us, in a sense, get out. And the only way we can get out of this city of destruction is through his means and his way. And that means and way is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust in him. You're being warned today. If you're not a Christian today, you're being warned that you're living in the city of destruction and it's going to be destroyed. And that God is being kind and gracious and he's warning you to get out. And as the two angels here were the way to show them, today it's Jesus Christ, for he says, I am the way. Where was she coming from? She was coming from the city of destruction. Where was she going? She was going to the city of safety. Look at verses 20 to 22. Behold, now this city is near. Now, they should not have been asked to go in the city. He should have went where the angels told him. When Lot lived in tents, he was quite well. It was when he moved into Sodom that things became bad. But they were going to Zoar. It was a city of salvation, the city of safety. Verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, or Little. So she was being taken from the city of destruction, and she was taken to the city of safety. And again, spiritualize that. As I said, we are in the world of destruction, and there's only one way that we can go to the city of safety, which is heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. They were led by two angels. We are led by Jesus Christ. And we must remember where she ended up. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She was lost. And how near was she to the city of safety? How near was she? Was she becoming salt when she left Sodom? Was it a few miles on the way? How close was she to safety when she became lost? And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. It tells us there that Lot had entered Zoar. And it tells us that she was behind him. But his wife looked back from behind him. How close was she to safety? She was on the footsteps, or on the doorstep of safety, and she looked back. I'll eventually come to it when I read Pilgrim's Progress, but my brother here will tell me if I'm wrong, but there's a door just near the celestial city on my right, and I don't know if it's a man or the burden that falls down and goes into that door. Is it a man?
It's a man.
But that's just outside the celestial city, so you can almost get to heaven and still be lost. She was behind her husband, and she went all the way from the city of destruction right to the limits of the city of safety. And she was still lost. That's why Jesus says to some people, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say?" But Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We've done this in your name, we've done that in your name, and remember how close the five foolish virgins were to the wedding? How close were they? They were on the other side of the door, and the door wasn't opened. My friends, you can be an inch from heaven and still be lost because you don't believe. Remember what she was told? A simple instruction, verse 17. And it came to pass when they were brought them forth abroad that the angel said, "Escape for your life, look not behind you." A simple instruction. Do not turn round. Keep going forward. Now there's nothing more simple than that. Don't look back. There's nothing more simple in one sense than this. Trust in the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And why does she look back? Matthew chapter 6 verse 21 and Luke chapter 12 verse 34 says this: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's where her heart was. Her heart was in the world. And she looked back to where her heart was. That's where her treasure was. It was in the world. And that's why the Lord says to many of them, "Will you also go away?" He's talking to his disciples. He's talking about those that have already gone. They've gone back into the world. We need to remember that we can be on the doorstep of heaven and still be lost. wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now I take it she was on the doorstep of Zoar when she became a pillar of salt. And if she was 5'2" or 5'3", then the pillar of salt would have been 5'2" or 5'3", and it would have been outside the door, the gates of Zoar, and it would have been, until the weather took it away, it would have been a constant reminder. I don't know, but maybe this is why Lot and his daughters went up to live in a cave. Maybe it was a constant reminder as he saw the pillar of salt. That was my wife, who was an unbeliever. Are you an unbeliever this morning? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Jesus, J.C. Ryle says this: the world was in her heart, and her heart was in the world. In this state she lived, and in this state she died. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. For the things of this world will take you to hell, as sure as I'm standing here. And that's what the Bible says. Use the things of the world. God has given us them to use. But don't put your trust in them. Don't love them. For the love of the world shows that there is no love for the Lord. My friends, it's important that we remember. We're going to be thinking of someone else with the word remember tonight. And when we come round the table, God willing, we'll be thinking about that word again, remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Only one word. I'm not asking you to remember 119th Psalm, although some people have done that. I could never do it. But I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, just one word, remember. Keep it in your thoughts. Think about it. And I can tell you this, it does your soul good. It does your soul good. To know that you're safe. I keep thinking of my own family, and I keep thinking about the Titanic sinking, and many of the people being in the boat, and some being in the cold water, and perishing, and that's a picture that comes to my mind when I think about my family. I'm in the boat, and they're in the water, and at the moment they're perishing. I'm sure everyone is here has someone who's unsafe in their family, whether it be sons or daughters or cousins or something. We need to remind them that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's pray.